We're talking about the tune of your heart. What is the eye tune of your heart? What is your heart tuned into, basically? And we're talking about your heart specifically. We started last week with the snow apocalypse, you know, and we've been progressively moving it. I would encourage you to go and listen to it online or watch it online to bring you up to speed. Today, I'll reference it a few times, but really, I want to keep moving forward in where I'm going this morning. And kind of the principle of it is this. Anybody remember what this is? Come on, anybody know what this is? Okay, if you're in here and you're 25 and under, you've probably seen these in history books. It's called a phonograph. That's probably what they call it. When I was a kid, we called them record players, man. Come on, 33 and 45, baby, 45. If you were like me, you're like, chewy, 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 chewy. All right, you hated when it got scratched, man, because then you had to hear it over and over again, so you had to jump the needle. I know what I'm saying. And listen, the principle of what we're talking about, though, is that your heart is like a radio. It receives signals and it transmits signals. Last week, I gave you some of the foundational work of it. The idea that, check this out, science has proven now, from the time of 2 weeks after conception, 2 weeks after conception, all the way till 12 years old, you are being programmed. Your DNA, who you are, is being programmed. Listen to this. Before you came out of your mother's womb, you were being programmed with certain traits, characteristics, and ideas. It started before you were born. If your mother or your father was having a traumatic time during the time that you were being made in your mother's womb, there's a chance that you could possibly show some of those traits, believe it or not, in your own, the way you act and who you are. Way back then, you were being programmed, is my point. And even now, we oftentimes don't realize how big of a role that played into our lives. So we're talking about that programming of the heart that started way back when you were, before you were born, all the way up till now. And we're talking about how to program your heart, how to reprogram your heart, how to have a heart for God, how to have your heart right. We're talking about all those different heart issues. Say, Pastor Charlie, why is this so important? Why is this such a big deal as far as your heart? Well, here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23. It says this, above all else, help me out here, guard your heart. The word guard there, it means to tend or keep. It's the same word that God told Adam and Eve to do in the garden. Guard, tend or keep, watch over it, be a good steward of it. So we could translate it that way, and it'd be much to our benefit if we translated it as to the idea of, above all else, steward your heart, guard your heart, watch over your heart. Why? Check it out. For everything, come on, talk to me. Everything you what? Everything you what? Do flows from where? From that heart. Everything you do flows from that heart. Everything. So if you've got an attitude problem, you probably got a... If you got a stealing problem, you probably got a heart issue. If you got a lying problem, you probably got a heart issue. If you got a marriage problem, you probably got a mean spouse. No. You got a heart issue. Come on, am I right? Every issue in your life flows from your heart. So why would I be speaking about your heart? Because get this, I recognize that if we can minister to your heart, we can minister to your whole life. Your whole life can change if your heart will change. Everybody see that? Check this out. It affects everything. Last week I really hit on this in detail, but check this out. Your heart affects even your health. Your health. Look at it. A merry heart does good like a what? Medicine. A medicine. This is the way God designed you. To have a merry heart. To have a jolly heart. To have a heart that's full of love and joy and peace and patience and long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, self-control. You're supposed to have those in your heart, all right? But listen to this. But a broken spirit dries the bones. And get this. Your bones, that is exactly where your blood is made. And your blood is actually your life. Life of the flesh is in the blood. So get this. Every aspect of your being is connected to your heart. I know in the medical world, they separate it. And oftentimes, though, as medical physicians, they treat symptoms, not problems. They don't deal with the heart, they deal with the chemical side of it. Well, here at church, we're going to deal with the heart. Because we believe, personally, I believe, out of everything that we could deal with your heart, we can fix your whole world. Amen? Out of your heart flow all your issues of life. So this week, I had this message laid out, and I was like, you know, there's got to be a song that would connect with you to really, for you to understand what I'm saying. So I started with a bit, well, I'll just show you. Here's where I started, and it really didn't go anywhere. Catch a good name for you. What a dumb song. The moral of the story is he would catch a grenade, but his girl wouldn't. I'm not asking my girl to catch a grenade for me. No, you're supposed to lay down your life for your girl, dummy. Uh-oh, the tiger, fire, catching through the fire. I am a champion. I don't know what she's crawling on the ground for. Whatever. Uh-oh. Let it go. We're getting closer to my message. Some of you need this. Some of you need to let it go. Let it go. I don't care. They're going to say. Storm rage on. Here it is. Dead me anyway. So. Come on. You can't get that nowhere else. You can't get that nowhere else. Hey, powerful, powerful song, though. Shake it off. Let it go. Let it go. I mean, all those songs. I mean, those songs are saying something, though. If you don't know the story behind Shake It Off, it's really talking about how to shake things off of your life, right? There's a great Bible story that connects directly to it. And I don't know if the Apostle Paul was singing this song whenever this happened, but there's a possibility he could have been the author of this song. Paul had been on a ship. He had been on a ship, and he told the ship not to take sail, because if the ship was going to take sail, he told them, the ship is going to be destroyed. Ship is going to be destroyed, and we're going to end up shipwrecked. Well, they did it anyway. And he got out there in the water. The ship is destroyed. They end up on this island, and now we pick up the story. It's Acts chapter 28, verse 1. It says, and now when they had escaped, they found out that they were on the island called Malta. And the natives showed them unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. Now listen to this, verse 3. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, he laid them on the fire, and the viper came out, and because of the heat, and fastened to his hand. So when the natives saw that the creature was hanging off of his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he escaped the sea, yet justice shall not allow him to live. Now watch this, verse 5. But he shook off. Everybody say, shake it off. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say, shake it off. This is going to be your quote of the week. You're going to look at your friends and go, hey, honey, just shake it off. Shake it off. Now, don't tell your spouse, shake it off, because you're going to get in trouble. But But shake it off, shake it off. And get this, he shook it off, and the Bible tells us that after he shook off the serpent, and the serpent, you know, went away, that they then saw him, and they seen that he had been bitten by the serpent, but get this, but he wasn't poisoned. He was bitten, but not poisoned. He was bitten, but not poisoned. He was bitten, but he wasn't poisoned. Hey, let me tell you something. You ready? I wish I could stand up here and tell you that serving God is always easy. I wish I could tell you that because you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, that everything in your world is going to pop up petunias and turn up tulips, that it's never going to rain at your house, it's always going to be sunny, you'll never have a broken car, a broken kid, a broken marriage, a broken life, a broken wife. That everything will always be perfect. You'll never have crazy family. You'll never have crazy kids. Everything's going to be perfect because you made Jesus Lord of your life. But I would be telling you a lie. Come on, how many of you know that? That common to life are experiences where we are bit. Come on, anybody ever been bit? And I'm not talking about the normal bit like the lady at the gas station was rude to you. I'm talking about a bite that bites you past your mind and hits your heart. I mean, it hits you way deep down. Come on, we've all been there. We've all had things in our life that have bit us, and they bite us way down deep in our gut, man. You know it, you feel it, you know it's there. And my goodness, it's like, oh my. I mean, it hurts so bad that even the thought of bringing it up hurts. And the deal is, it isn't that you're not going to escape life where you're not going to get bit. You're going to get bit. But there is a difference between being bit and being poisoned. And being poisoned. And being poisoned. See, you can be bit. We're going to be bit. But you don't have to allow the poison to poison your life. Here's what the enemy knows. The enemy knows this. If you're here this morning and you've given your heart to Christ, the Bible tells us that God has put a new heart in you. Got a new heart. And the enemy knows that all the issues of your life flow from that heart. They flow from that. So if he can, he will try to poison your heart. Because he knows if he poisons your heart, guess what else he does? He poisons your entire life. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the heart, man lives. Everything you are is connected to your heart. So if he can poison your heart, he can poison your life. Come on, y'all hear that this morning. Check this out. Matthew 5:8, look at this verse. Jesus said this. He said, blessed are the pure in what? Heart. For they shall see God. Listen to that. Blessed are the what? Pure. Not poisoned. Blessed are the pure. The pure shall see God. Now, this is, I don't want to take this scripture out of context, but I do want to apply it another way. Listen to this. It's saying that blessed are the pure in heart, for they will eventually see Christ. Right? Face to face. No doubt, not denying that. But let me say it this way. I also believe you could take it and apply it this way. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God in their marriage, in their finances, in their kids' lives, in their family's lives, in their physical health, in their emotions. Blessed are the pure. If you want God to do big things in your life, which how many of you want that? Man, I want God to do big things in my life. Then I have to recognize my portion of that responsibility is this, to keep myself in a place where my heart is pure. To keep my heart in a place where my heart is not poisoned, but it's absolutely pure so I can see God do big things in my family, my kids, my life, my heart, my wife's life, and all of the things that surround my life. Because out of the heart flow all my issues. Y'all getting what I'm saying? all of my issues. All of my issues flow from my heart. So get this. Here's the deal. If the enemy wants to pollute my heart and make it poison, he can destroy my life. If God wants to do big things in my life, guess where he wants to do? He wants to start in my heart. And as men and women of God, and even if you're unsaved, I will say this, guarding your heart, watching over it, being a good steward of it, is everything. Because if you allow your heart to be poisoned, it's going to poison everything. Have I said it enough? Have I said it enough? That it will affect every area of your life. And the enemy wants and desires for your heart to be absolutely poisoned. Poisoned in every way, shape, and form. He wants to poison it because it's his avenue for him to get into your heart this morning. Do y'all hear that? Say amen to that, please. I thought snow apocalypse was this weekend too. I mean, come on, it's going to be 60 this week. You ought to be happy, praise God. Check this out. Some of the poisoned heart conditions. Poisoned heart conditions. Heart conditions that the Bible speaks of in not a positive light, but in a negative light. It talks about just a few. Here are just a few, and again, I could wear you out. I could preach till the Colts start playing football again on just conditions of the heart. But I will spare you and just give you a few. The Bible mentions a perverse heart. You can have a perverse heart. If people are perverted, it didn't start with the action. It started with the heart. Talk to me. Yeah. How about a proud or a haughty heart? People that are arrogant, haughty. They you can't teach them nothing. They don't want to be taught nothing. Why? Because they know everything. Just ask them, they'll tell you. Am I right? Come on, haughty, arrogant. How many of you know that's not God either, right? How about this, a hardened heart. You ever talk to people? Hi, Pastor Charlie. But you, whenever you get past that mask, you find out they're really hard-hearted. Unpliable. Why do people have heart attacks? Why do people have artery problems? Oftentimes their arteries get hard. Y'all hear what I'm saying? They get hard. And they're unpliable. They don't work right because they're unpliable. Get this, a deceitful heart. Someone who's deceived. It started with their heart. They desired to believe something that's not true. How about this? A fearful heart. People that are fearful of things. How about this? A wicked heart. Someone who's wicked. Evil. How about this? A broken heart. And not all these, listen, everybody, look at me and check this out. Not all these that we're talking about means you love or don't love God. That's not what we're talking about. If you're here today, I'm assuming you love God. You wouldn't be up when you could have slept. Right? Yeah. So it isn't like, I'm not saying you don't love God. I'm just asking, have you checked on your heart lately? Have you looked in your heart and said, is my heart pure or is my heart poisoned? Because let me assure you of this. Your heart's a stereo. It's receiving and sending signals. Now, the damage of your heart is this. The worst part about this is not these conditions. I'm going to give you a Bible verse, and then it's going to look like it doesn't apply, but then it will whenever I sum it together, whenever I pull it together. So let me show you a verse here. Look at Genesis 1:12. It says this, And the earth brought forth grass, the herbs of the field seed according to its kind. Now watch this. And the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself. Everybody say that with me. Whose seed is in itself. One more time. Whose seed is in itself. Okay, one more time, just to make sure you got it, all right? Don't want to be redundant, but I want you to hear it. Whose seed is in itself. Now, here's the power of this thing. God has woven into the universe that everything that multiplies or grows starts with one, and it's sown, and then it multiplies. So for example, if you want to grow oranges, you start off with a orange seed, and that orange seed then produces more oranges, which produce more seed, which produce more oranges, not in Indiana, in Georgia and Florida. But you get where I'm coming from. If you take an apple seed and sow it, you produce more apple. Y'all getting what I'm saying? You get the application. Watch this, and it works in your life. If you want more money, you need to take the money you have, right, and buy Lotto. No! No. You take the money you have, and you, of course, give and tithe, and, of course, sow and invest, right? And by sowing and investing, by taking what you have, the seed is in itself. If you want more of something, you take what you have and sow it. When you sow it, it'll multiply for you, right? It's like that with everything. Hey, watch this, watch this. It's that way with everything. Yeah, y'all ain't getting me. It's like that with everything. Everything. So now let's go back here to these conditions of the heart. Look at it. It's like that with everything. It's like that with everything. So let's say hypothetically, you have a broken heart. You have a broken heart. And you have a broken heart because your spouse left you. So you're brokenhearted. So from that broken place and that broken heart, you come to church on Saturday, on Sunday, but on Monday, you're brokenhearted. And you're like, you know what? I'm really broken, so I need someone. Someone go clubbing. Pastor said, shake it off. I wanted to hear that song. No, you're not shaking it off. You're picking it up. So watch this. So you'll go out. I'm telling you how people think and how they make decisions. They're brokenhearted, and because that seed desires to multiply itself, from a broken place, they'll go out and they'll go clubbing, or they'll go hook up with somebody who's broken too. Because you know, two broken people, it always works. All right? So next thing you know, a brokenhearted person has hooked up with another brokenhearted person, and because they're both broken, they begin to multiply broken seed in their relationship. And then a year later, Pastor Charlie, I don't know what happened. Let me show you what happened. I want you to fix him. No. Let's talk about your heart. Let's talk about your heart. That result is not what we need to deal with. We need to deal with the root of the problem. The problem is you're broken. You're broken. And you're trying to mask it. And all you're doing is multiplying that seed in your life. And because of that, you are making your life a wreck. Out of the heart, all the issues of life flow out of it. Let's say, hypothetically, you think you're ugly. I didn't say you was. You may be. I don't know. I'm just saying. Let's just say, all right? Let's say you're ugly. And the reason you think you're ugly is because you have insecurity. You're an insecure person. And because that seed desires to multiply itself, you know what you think? You think, I'm ugly. You look in the mirror and you go, you know what would make me pretty? If I had a nose job, I'll go get an MJ nose. Come on, you might know what I'm talking about. MJ, Michael Jackson knows. And isn't that funny? It's too fresh to you? Okay, anyway. All right, so you go and you go. Oh, come on, that was really funny, I thought. It's music, iTunes. All right, anyway, so you go out. Watch this. People do this. They go and they go, I want to get a nose job. Why? I'll be pretty. They go and they get a nose job. They come out of the surgery. No sooner than they're out of the surgery, guess what? And again, I'm not against people having plastic surgery, having their teeth fixed and all that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying why people do things. Follow me? You want to make yourself? Whatever. Go on with your bad self. But check this out. So you get a nose job. You come out. And watch this. You haven't dealt with the heart. So they look at their nose and they go, ooh, perfect. And they look down just a little bit. Now I'm going to stop right there. We'll stop right there. And they look. My ears are messed up, or my whatever's messed up, and whatever, and watch this, and so they go to the doctor, and they go, hey, listen, if you could fix whatever, I'd be perfect. Y'all seeing what I'm saying? that seed begins to multiply in their life. Next thing you know, they got both, they can't even smile, you know? It's like, wow, bro, how did you get there? They got there because they started in a place of insecurity. It begins to multiply. Now, it's easy for me to use those examples because those really you feel like don't apply to you. But it's different when I say, well, then why do you spend more money than you really need to spend? Because you identify, could it be that you're unhappy and you're thinking money is going to fix your happiness? No, happiness and joy is a condition of the heart. Let's fix the heart and you won't have to worry about the external. And again, I'm not against money and I'm not against having fun and I'm not against spending it. Michelle does it all. And I'm all right with it. I'm serious. I'm not against that. I'm not against things. I have a bass boat. We bought just a week and a half ago, bought a 68 Mustang for my son to restore. I'm into it, man. I'm into it. I like stuff and all that. But I'm not going to have stuff to cover up my insecurity. I'm not going to have stuff to fix my heart. I'm going to allow my heart to be whole and live from a whole heart. Come on, y'all getting what I'm saying? If you'll live that way, your life will straighten itself up pretty quick because you're not making decisions and multiplying negative seed into your life. You follow me? But most of the time, we don't want to talk about our heart. Most of the time, we hide our heart. Check this out. Whenever my mom had open heart surgery, they went down there and we go in there and meet with the doctor, and the doctor's, I'm just intrigued by it. I really am. So I asked the doctor, and this is out of curiosity more than anything. I said, sir, how many heart surgeries have you done? And I could tell he kind of thought, what, you going to jump in here or something? I was like, no, you're all right, man. Rock on with your bad self. I ain't touch it. I'll pass out. No kidding, right? Don't invite me. If you bleed out, you will bleed out with me passed out, all right? I ain't kidding. I'm not the guy. I couldn't have been a doctor. Maybe a lawyer. But I don't know how you can be saved. But anyway, all right. Anyway, I'm just kidding. I have friends that are lawyers and they're saved. They love God. All right. But on a serious note, check this out. We're talking to this doctor, and I asked the doctor, I said, how many heart surgeries have you done? He said this, check this out. He said, I've held over 5,000 hearts in my hand. Held them. I bet he's got insurance on those hands. 5,000 hearts. He goes, and if you ever want to learn something from people, act interested. And I wasn't acting. I was very interested. And I said, wow, that's phenomenal. He goes, you want to know something even more phenomenal than that? I said, yeah. He goes, every one of them's different. Every one of them. Every heart is different. I said, really? He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, they're more defined than your fingerprint. He goes, that's why as heart surgeons, we don't know what we're getting until we get in there. Because every heart is different. That's pretty phenomenal, isn't it? So let me just say this. Every one of our hearts is different in some way, shape, or form. I'm talking about our spiritual heart. But if we allow it to be poisoned, we can get the same result. A poisoned life. You follow me? Check this out. Snake venom. Snake venom is very, very potent to the heart. It's actually potent to three areas. You know, Paul shook off the serpent because he didn't want it to poison him. Why? Because snake venom is so powerful, it affects three different areas of your body, of your physical man. This is cool. Listen to this. Three different areas. Every snake has each of these three ingredients in their venom. Now, each snake has a different cocktail mix of it, but all snakes that are venomous have these things in common, that the venom affects you in three ways. It affects you, number one, in your mind. It affects your mind. Number two, it affects your nervous system. Watch this. Number three, it affects your heart. It affects your heart. You're going to be bit in life. You're going to be bit. But when you get poisoned, let me tell you what it does. It affects you in three ways. When you begin to allow these things in your heart to build up and really make you toxic, and really your body physically starts reacting, and this is why people that worry a lot have stomach issues. This is why people who stress out have back problems. This is why a lot of physical sickness are rooted in your health of your heart. Preach on, Pastor Charlie, I will. But check this out. When you're poisoned, it affects you in three ways. It affects your mind, it affects your nervous system, and it affects your heart. That's what happens. When you allow yourself to be bit and then poisoned, it affects your mind in the sense of you don't think right. You don't think clear. You don't think the way you should. You don't, your nervous system, you don't act right. You don't respond well. You don't operate the way you should. Come on, talk to me. Am I right? And the third thing is your heart. Your heart gets off. It gets off in a ditch. Your heart is, it becomes manipulated and controlled, and it becomes very different than what you are because of your heart. All of your issues flow from your heart. Y'all hearing what I'm saying this morning? See, most of the time, we don't want to deal with our heart. What we do three different things, and I'm going to give you. Number one, we bury our bite. We bury our poison. We bury it. We put it down and put it down and put it down. Check this out. If you bring two people into my office, husband and wife, and this is hypothetical, don't be looking around. I made this story up. Now, if it's your house, we'll pray for you. It's about you. Anyway. All right, but check this out. Here's the deal. You bring a husband and a wife in, and you say, sir, is your marriage fine? My marriage is fine. Everything's fine. Everything's perfect. Ma'am, how's your marriage? Well, it's okay. Okay, now, and then you start diving into what's going on. And here's what you find. You find that the young lady grew up in an abusive home. She grew up in an abusive home where she didn't have a voice. And so what she did is, when she left her father and mother's home, she went out and married someone just like that abusive person. Right? She never had a voice. She suppressed it. She buried her heart. She thought it was okay not to have an opinion, not to have a voice, not to do any of that. Right? And then she gets married to a man, and you know, years may go by, and then all of a sudden you flip on TV and you're watching a show called Snapped, where homegirl done flipped out and shot up her husband or her house. And they'll interview folks, and they'll say, well, what happened? I don't know. She was a sweet lady. She was nice. She kept to herself. She was friendly to everybody. I tell you what she did. She married. And she snapped. It's better to relieve a little pressure now and then. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? I'm just trying to help folks. That's all I'm doing. Relieve a little pressure. You bring me a husband and wife. They come in, and they're cussing, yelling, and screaming at each other. Not that I'm promoting any of that. But they come in, I hate her. Blah, 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 blah. And that wasn't tongues. It was just me. All right? And then he comes in. Blah, 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 blah. He's just mad. They're wound up like a three-day clock. And I'm like, man, I can work with that. I can work with that. Why? Because at least they're not burying it. It's not making them sick. It's not poisoning their life. At least they're dealing with it. At least it's up front and on the table and everybody's talking about it. Some of the hardest people to minister to are people that bury their issues. They'll go to a doctor. Give me a pill to cover this. I'm lonely. They go and take antidepressants because they're depressed. Not ever wanting to deal. And again, I'm not against medicine, but what I'm trying to say is all of your issues start in your heart. Your heart's like a radio. It's transmitting. It's receiving signals. And if you don't guard it, if you don't condition it, if you don't take care of it, it will poison your life. And then what will happen is 20 years from now, you're still not dealing with your issues. And the only way you're going to fix it is to come around and deal with the issue. Don't bury your issue. If you feel something in your heart, say it, speak it, talk about it. If you're married, deal with it. Deal with it. Deal with it. Deal with it. Talk about it. Speak about it. Don't bury it, because you'll bury it and you'll pop. You'll flip out. That's how people, they'll be married 20 years, and all of a sudden somebody leaves somebody. What happened? I didn't even see it coming. You didn't see it coming. I bet you it was happening, though. It was happening for 20 years and you didn't recognize it. Come on, amen? That's the truth. So don't bury it, guys. It's better to get it out there. Talk about what's going on in your heart. You know what the next thing that people do oftentimes is? They'll blame. They get into the blame game. They blame this person. They blame that person. They blame this person. They blame that. But I'm going to blame my wife, spouse, job, blame this for the condition of my heart. Now, I'm going to ask you a trick question, and every service has got it wrong, but we'll see how we do. Can your spouse make you mad? See, I kind of gave you guys a heads up that everybody failed. So you're going against your gut. What is the answer? Did the truth of either you guys are so much smarter or I gave you the heads up? We'll say you're smarter. Here's the truth. You ready? You can't make your spouse mad. Watch this. But he pushes my buttons. I didn't deny that. He may push your buttons, but you choose. I thought I'd get at least one man on that. At least one man to say, amen, Pastor Todd, preach on. I'm going to get this CD. Hey, listen, here's the reality, though. The reality is no one can make you do anything. It's a choice on your part to enter into it. Yeah, you choose to. But she pushes my buttons. That may be true. He pushes my buttons. That may be true. But it's still your choice to respond. It's your choice. We live in such a culture that blames everybody else for their problems that people don't ever deal with their own issues in their own heart. They do. They blame it on me. You know, mama, you know, and my basketball coach in seventh grade made fun of my shoes, and I'm still mad about it, and that's why I hate people that talk about shoes. Oh, give me a, you're 45 years old, bro. Come on, man. Come on, am I right, though? Make an excuse for everything. No, how about this? Why don't you, the Bible doesn't say, have your spouse guard your heart, for out of it flows all their issues. Is that what it says? No, it says you guard your heart. You steward your heart, for out of your heart flow all your issues. I'm moving on. How many of you get it, though? Come on, we got to be good stewards of our own heart, man. If my heart's off, I have a responsibility. Not my wife, not my friends, not the staff, not the church. If my heart's off, guess whose responsibility it is? It's my responsibility to ask the Lord, Lord, show me where my heart is. Show me what is off. Show me what I'm doing. Show me why I'm doing it. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Don't blame other people. Here's the ready. Number three, if you're writing things down, not only do we blame, not only do we bury, a lot of times people just beat themselves up. I've talked to people and be like, hey, listen, you got this issue in your heart. You know, you're insecure, or you're this, or you're that. And I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm just saying, can we look at this issue? I'm just a worm. I'm just a dirtbag. I hate myself. And you're pointing it out again. I hate me. Okay, this is not helping us. We're not moving forward. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? They turn into this self-destructive crazy person. You know? How many of you know that is not productive? Listen, you have to be able to talk about your heart without burying it, without blaming other people for your heart, and without beating yourself up. Beating yourself up. I'll give you one for me. And I'm very open. You guys know this. I'm transparent as can be. I'm the same person here as I am anywhere. All right, check this out. One of the things that I grew up with, well, let me say this. I remember one time whenever I was a kid. I was 17 years old or so. All right? And I went out and I was working on my car. I went out and I bought a drill. I bought a drill at Kmart. Anybody remember Kmart out there on 31? Blue light special Kmart? I know that. Wasn't cool to go there. You didn't want to be seen with your parents. Yeah. All right. Anyway, I went and bought a drill there. I was 17 years old. I still remember this to this day. I went there and I bought this drill. Well, within a week, that drill burned up. And in my world, it was probably a $60, $70 drill. And as a 17-year-old kid, in my world, that's a lot of money. And I was working on my car. So I went back in there. And one of the things you have to know about me is this, not now, but I'm talking back then. Well, let me tell the story and then I'll connect the dots. All right, so I went in there and I told him, I said, listen, here's the deal. I bought this drill a week ago and the drill burned up. And the lady opened the box and she goes, well, it looks used. Everybody, this is pre-Jesus. Pre-Jesus, y'all know what I'm saying? Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? I looked at her like, you idiot. I bought the drill to use it. I looked at her and I said, of course it's used. I told you, here's the receipt. I bought it a week ago. It's not working. Well, it looks pretty used. Here's the receipt. I'm reiterating. Here's the receipt. The drill's broke. It won't work. She goes, what? I just don't think we're going to have that. I said, listen, do whatever you got to do, but I either want my money back or I want a new drill. You know? It was one of those lifetime warranty deal. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah, we need to do something. She's like, I don't think so. And then she begins to give me her qualifications of why she shouldn't give me a new drill. By the end of it, this is no exaggeration. You can ask my sister. She was with me. I told the lady, I said, let me tell you something, honey. I'm going to go out in my car and I'm going to run my car through your front glass window. Security? I got kicked out of Kmart. Got kicked out of Kmart over a dumb drill. Now, I say all that to say this, all right? I say all that to say, as a young person, I didn't understand why I flipped out on her. All right? I just didn't. All right? I didn't sit there and go, maybe I have something in my spirit. Maybe something in my heart is off. I didn't do any of that. I thought, lady, you're honking me off. I'm going to get you back. All right? So get this. As I grew in life, though, I started realizing this, that I had an issue. I know, it's hard to believe. But here was my issue, and this is no kidding. This is no kidding. And I learned it once I got into the military, and they helped me. They helped me, very much so. But I learned, here's what I learned about myself. I learned that I had a problem with people speaking down to me. I learned that. And that was hidden in my heart. I was hidden in my heart. So anytime someone was condescending or spoke down to me or treated me like I was an idiot or a dirtbag or a worm, I flared up, man. And I realized, as an adult, I realized, looking back, that goes all the way back to my heart when I was a kid of how I was treated. Out of your heart flow all your issues. You don't realize it a lot of times. You don't realize it. We beat ourselves up. We beat ourselves up. We bury. We don't want to talk about it. When the truth of the matter is, we need to. We need and should ask, why am I sitting here wanting to drive the car through the Kmart store over a drill? Come on, am I right, guys? Y'all follow my heart? I hope you're getting what I'm saying. Because really, to be a healthy person, you don't need to do those things. We need to go on, I can tell. All right. So listen, let me say this. If you have poison in your heart, like I did, and sometimes still do, I have to constantly guard my heart, intend it and keep it. What do you do with it? Let me show you what you do with it. You ready? Number one, you ready? Write these down, and these will help you, I'm sure. Number one, you got to recognize it. You got to recognize it. Recognize it. Recognize it. If you need help, ask your spouse. If you need help, ask your kids. No, I'm being serious and funny at the same time. Ask people around you. Ask them. Ask them. And not everybody. Ask some people that you love that you know have your heart. Okay? Ask them, hey, listen, did I respond well to that? Did I come off wrong? Did I misread that? Did I say that wrong? Did that come out the way I meant for it to come out? Recognize it. Recognize it. Once you recognize it, guess what you can do? You can go about fixing it. But if you don't recognize it, get this. If you don't, other people do. And they are talking about it. Yes, look at her. Here she comes. Yeah, that's the one. Stay away from her. Psycho. Cray cray. Hater. Oh, hey, how are you? Everything's good today. Oh, yeah. Go somewhere else. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying? Recognize it. Recognize what's in your heart. Number two, if you're taking notes, write this one down. I believe this will help you. Repent. Now, repent, get this. Repent, we have an idea that repent means to say I'm sorry. Repentance is not saying I'm sorry. Repentance is I want to change my mind. I want to change the way I am. Y'all getting that? Changing your mind. You could say you're sorry all day and it doesn't help anybody. The way you get free from things is by saying, Lord, change my mind about that thing. Change the way I think. Because my problem is that. It's not that I'm not sorry. I am sorry. But change the way I am. Y'all follow me? Repent of it. Say, Lord, change my mind. Change my heart. Change the way I am. Say, how do you do it? How do you do it properly? Here's how you properly repent, all right? This is the way you do it, all right? And specifically in this scenario, check this out. You do what's called you put off and put on. You put off, like say you have an anger issue, all right? You say, Lord, I recognize I got some anger issues. Lord, I want to put off anger and I want to put on joy and peace. And you say it out of your mouth. Say, why? Why is it so important? It's so important that you speak it out of your mouth. Why? Get this. Your mouth programs your heart. Well, this is huge. This is a big key. Your mouth programs your heart. It does. You've been given an outer ear to hear other people. You've been given an inner ear by God to hear yourself. And when you speak, it goes right into your heart. It programs your heart. You ever talk to people and they're like, I hate my wife. I hate her. How long you been with her? 50 years. I hate her. How long have you hated her? Did you hate her when you first got? No, I loved her then, but I hate her now. Well, how did that get there? How did that hate get there? How did that get down in someone's heart? Let me show you. When they were dating, they wasn't talking like that. I love you, baby. You to catch me out. You everything. Mama said, don't marry her. She's a psycho. I love her. Daddy said, don't touch that. She's crazy. Well, I love her. And the more you said it, the more you programmed your heart for her. But then 20 years later, you woke up one day and said, I may hate her. Maybe a buddy initially kicked it off. Man, I hate your wife. And you heard that, and that went in your heart. But it didn't have the power that you speaking it did. And you started saying it. I hate her. We're talking about marriage, but it works this way in everything. I hate my job. No wonder you're going in there all mad. Why don't you start thanking God you have a job and just be happy? I thank you, Lord, for a job. It's amazing if you'll change your heart, you'll change your life. Yes. And I'm going to put it off. Lord, take this heart from me. Give me this heart. You follow me? And I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it out of my mouth. You got that? Third thing, write this one down. I'm going to reclaim the promise of God over my life. Reclaim it. Lord, I thank you. If it's temper, Lord, I thank you that you don't want that stuff in my spirit. You don't want that stuff in my heart. So, Lord, I'm putting off anger, and I'm asking you to replace it with joy. And I'm going to claim your promise, Lord, that the joy of the Lord is my strength in Jesus' name. See how I did that? Reclaim the promise of God over my life. And then the last one right here, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to finally rest and rely on the Holy Spirit to make it happen. How many of you know we can't heal ourselves? We need the Holy Spirit to do the work in us, right? But by us, get this, by us recognizing, repenting, reclaiming, what we're doing now is giving the Holy Spirit the things he needs to redo the working in my heart. So that my life is pure and not poisoned. Again, I want to reiterate and say this. You can't help but be bit. In life, you're going to be bit. You're going to be bit. But you don't have to be poisoned. You don't have to allow those things to poison your life. And if you'll do what I ask today and do what the Word of God says over your life, I promise you it's going to keep you free and your heart's going to be free. And you're going to live better in this life because your heart, out of it, flow all your issues. You want to fix your life? In any area, ask the Lord, where's my heart off in this area? And I promise you, He'll show you. He'll begin to speak to you. Speaking of which, you've been given, last week we handed these out. You can get one as you leave right there where the bulletins are. A prayer of transformation. I'm asking everybody to get one. If you haven't got one, get one. And this is something you can hang there at your refrigerator if you're like me and go there 5-6 times a day. Or wherever you might see it a lot. And this is a prayer where you can write in literally what you may be struggling with. And it is a starting place for you to begin to deal with your heart and to heal your heart. The last Sunday of this series, I think we're going to hand these out and have people bring them forward and pray over them. That was kind of in my heart, and I thought it was a great idea to do that. So I think we're going to do that. But the bottom line is, get one of those if you don't know what to do next, and do what I asked today. You know, obviously recognize, repent, then reclaim, and then rely on the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you through it, and I promise He'll do a great job of it. Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a big clap offering. Praise God.